Soulful.
Welcome to the Higher Self Activation Podcast. My name is Ligia, and I'm here to help you find trust, let go of control, and see more aligned results with less hustle. We will bring the cosmos and multidimensional consciousness into the here and now, making energy tangible and easy to understand. Now let's get started with today's episode. First of all, welcome, Sarah, and thank you so much for hanging out with us today in the Higher Self Activation Podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this conversation today.
I know, and I was just telling Sarah before we started the recording how I've been meaning to have a podcast episode around this topic for so long, and I would always see her content online and addressing the heart space, talking exactly about the stuff that I wanted to bring you guys. So this is perfect.
Yes, it is. I'm sure like everything always happens at the perfect timing. And I really believe that. So I'm excited.
Yes, me too. So today's episode, it's all about when you're operating from the mind level and shifting to operating from the heart space. So we all know what that feels like. And we all know what it feels like to be in your head, overthinking, the mental hustle, you know, the doubts, the what ifs, the fears, and we can get so caught up in the rational, and that's ego-based, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm really excited to explore is how we can shift from that space to connect with that inner knowing, with intuition, mm-hmm. and with alignment. I want to start by saying, you know, disclaimer for anyone listening, it's not about avoiding these things from coming up. So it's not about fighting and saying, okay, so I'm going to connect with my heart space so I don't have doubts coming up again. I never have resistance. I'm never going to overthink. It's not about avoiding. But instead, the way I see it, it's how you can master this shift. So how you can allow the doubts and fears to come up, but to just see and realize when it does. See what it's happening. And then you go, oh, hold on. This is what's going on. I can activate another energy here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm all for that. And I think I really agree with what you said. And I think it's really important. It's not about avoiding or hiding from yourself, because that just creates more problems. And it just goes back to the root cause of the problem, basically, if we do that, because we're just kind of pushing it all down and it's still there, but we're not facing it. So I am 100% for really facing our stuff, the shadows, the blocks, everything that comes up, and to not like think that it has to be perfect or it has to be a certain way. So if you start this work, for example, you might think that, oh, I have to be loving and compassionate all the time and you know, positive and all those things. And yes, that's great, but the stuff is still there and it might still come up. So there's no way that you can totally avoid it and that it's not going to. And the way I see it as well is that actually the more you start leaning into this way of living, so the heart space and intuition, truth, the more things are actually going to come up, because it's kind of like testing you and because it's also just bubbling up so that you can see it and then release it. And that is so powerful when you do this. So I think the first step is always, always awareness of what is like stopping you, blocking you. What are some of your blocks, some wounds, limiting beliefs and fears, and to really get comfortable with them, like really know them deeply and be okay with them being there. They're not you and they're not your truth. So then it's really about being able to tell the difference. But yeah, I totally agree with you on that point.
And I love what you said, that it's not you. They're mm-hmm. not you. So looking at this resistance, the blocks, with detachment, because when you look at, okay, I might have this fear coming up, I might have this belief coming up, but if you just look at them from that observer seat, knowing that this might be here, but it's not me, that's when you mm-hmm. can just look at it and not get caught up.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful, actually, because I think that's the problem for a lot of people. And I was there, and I know how it feels. And sometimes it still happens again, where you get so caught up in a story or in the thoughts in your head, the doubts, everything, that it just prevents you from actually accessing that deeper part of you, the knowing. And it's okay. It's fine. It's normal, but it definitely is just stories and things in your head. And once, like you said, you can be in the observer seat and watch what's happening, then there's that distance that starts being created and it loses power over you. So you get back into your own power, basically.
And you know what's funny? That because you said it's about awareness, it's just bringing your awareness and looking at it. Mm-hmm. I feel there's so much resistance around that. Because we're very conditioned to do something about it. So the first question, and it happens with my clients too, it's we bring awareness to something and the first question is, okay, I see it. Now what? What do I do with it? And it's not about doing anything with it, right?
Oh, yeah. I love that you bring this up, actually. It's really interesting. Yeah. Totally. I think, but that's exactly the topic today. It's kind of like the head space and the mind always wants to solve the problems in the way that it knows how, and it's usually doing. So it's not going to just be bringing awareness and, you know, being okay with that and not doing anything about it, just maybe sitting with it. That's the hardest part, actually. And I totally get this because I don't know if many people noticed, but I did the Vipassana silent retreat, 10-day silent meditation last year. Wow. And just sitting for about 10 hours a day in silence. And let me tell you, that was actually so challenging, so much resistance, so much stuff came up during that time. And it's definitely nothing like you could imagine bliss or peace or anything like that. It's actually quite the opposite. But just being in that state is actually really powerful because it does bring up those things. And of course, there's many, many great practices that can support you. But you're so right when you say that it's actually the first reaction is to say, so what's next? What do I do now? What action can I take? And that, I think, again, is the mind. And it is a little bit sometimes resistant. And I'm not saying that you just have awareness and then you do nothing about it. Of course not. But awareness is really the first step. And there's nothing you need to do, but there are things I think that you can still do that will support you. But nothing is absolutely like necessary. And if you don't do it, you're not going to be able to reach that point. I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but
yes. No, I totally agree. Cause that's the, okay. I guess that's where you start breaking this paradigm of action, yeah. Rational, masculine driven, where yes. We first you, how can I fix it?
Yes, exactly.
And the urge that it's on me. I have to do something about it. So when you just sit with it, you feel like it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't get to be enough.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But it actually is usually it's already really huge. And if you can sit with it doing nothing, that's where there's so much power and transformation as well, because it's so hard to do this because the mind wants to run away, wants to say, oh, maybe I should do this, or maybe I should go on this beautiful retreat or travel or something. And I love doing all these things. I'm not saying it's not good. I'm just saying it loves to like create distractions in any possible way. And yeah, totally. When you just sit with it, it's already huge, really.
Yes. And I guess also just observing something that I was thinking about now. So you said bringing your awareness to the doubts, the beliefs, the things that come up. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it and you sit with it, I guess observing the resistance that comes up by just sitting with it is also very eye-opening, isn't it? Because if you feel like I was just saying, I was coming back to when that happens with me and how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I can look at my beliefs, look at the fears, and I go, okay, there's nothing to fix here, nothing that I need to do. I'm just going to feel it. Then the stuff that comes up is usually very, oh, this is what I needed to look at. It's the, this is not enough. or
yeah,
it's my responsibility. And those beliefs are so key. If you want to shift to the heart space, no?
Yes, absolutely. It's exactly what you were saying before. The I think this is a good image, like the masculine and the feminine. So I think it's kind of similar to saying, and I talk about this a lot as well, that when you're really in the mind and trying to fix things and do something about it, that's very masculine. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. We need that sometimes. But when you're trying to shift from a more, I mean, into a more heart-centered life and living and the heart space, that is more feminine in nature and in energy. So it's not about fixing and being that responsible person. It's about actually bringing awareness and not doing anything, but going with the flow and listening, tuning in, listening to the inner guidance. And yes, so exactly what you said.
And I'm curious to ask, so what do you think, how do you see the role of mindset work here? Because, and I love mindset work, but attaching that, combining that with energy. So what do you see the role of mindset work in this shift to the heart space? Because we're coming from the mind, we're coming from the head, we're coming from explaining, wanting to explain everything, wanting to understand, put everything into words. So something that I see happening as well is that when we start tapping into mindset work and we look at limiting beliefs, blocks, then we tend to want to explain that rationally. So you would journal, these are my fears, this is how I can explain them. And then you close your journal and that's it.
That's true. And it's actually a really good question, really interesting topic. I think that, of course, especially in the beginning, mindset work is really important. So shifting the mindset from one of maybe like always driven by fear, driven by self-doubt and things like that, that is not supportive at all, into something that is much more supportive, something that will nourish you and that will be more encouraging maybe. So of course, also what you said about journaling around those limiting beliefs and things like that, it's a powerful tool as well, especially in the beginning. But then you can also move past that, I think. And it's not for everyone. Some people actually don't necessarily get much out of it. I'm sure most people do. But you can get, you can kind of move past that and see, okay, well, it's all the mind after all. So I can use my mind in this way, or I can use it, or I can let it use me. So it's great to see it that way, maybe too. Maybe initially you are kind of consumed by your mind. You run off with the thoughts and the stories and you let them control your life. That's obviously not what we want. What we want is for you to kind of take over that and be more in control. And yes, sometimes some mindset work will be important in that way, where you can actually use your mind more effectively when needed and not have it control your life. It's tough, it's challenging, but it is possible. And yeah, so moving more and more into being and into the heart, then of course the stories will still be there, but you're not identified with them as much. So whether they're, you know, desires, so positive or negative and kind of taking you down, in both cases, they're just there and they don't define you. So I don't know if that really answers your question, but that's kind of how I see it.
Yes, yes, it does. I guess what I hear and the way I see it too, it's mindset work is there as a tool and it's helpful, but it does keep you operating in on the mind level where you can still explain things and wrap your head around and make sense out of what you're trying to understand. So I guess that helps. So this is what I hear. It's mindset work being a tool to help bring your awareness, because it's easier, of course, to understand what's going on when you can journal about it. Okay, I have this feeling. Yeah. What is it feeling in my body? What's going on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Something else I want to say is that the way I see it as well, and I used to be so into this. Like I was really doing this a lot, and I think I've shifted a little bit in a different direction. And then I'm not saying that anyone is right or wrong or bad or anything like that. I think there's a time for everything. And especially when you're starting, it's a great, great way to start. But there's also this, in the self-development world, or however you want to call it, even the spirituality world, there's a lot of, maybe less now, but there's a lot of like ideas that you have to kind of be positive all the time and all that. I'm sure you know this.
Yes.
and this actually can be a little bit dangerous because it goes back to what we were saying in the beginning. If you're just trying to be positive all the time, then you're maybe not facing certain things that are deep down and that need to be faced and need to be felt. And it's okay to sometimes have bad days. It's okay to get angry sometimes, to actually just feel what has to come up. It's not an excuse, but it is true that everything is valid. And yeah, so I think that's something I wanted to add, that it can sometimes shift into this idea that you have to be positive all the time. You have to kind of be past all the other things, and you can't allow yourself to feel whatever is true to you in this moment. So mindset work in that way, I think, can kind of take us away from the goal. I mean, in my view, is to drop down to the heart more. But there are some very positive aspects to it as well.
Yes, and I so agree with you on the trying to be positive all the time. There's something also with the more traditional way of, you know, exploring mindset work, I would say, that that saying around you can control how you feel at all times, and you are in control, your mind doesn't control you. And I see all those things, of course, true to an extent, but that can also put you in such a state of resistance, because if I can control how I feel, if I'm in control and I can change it at any time, which to some extent you do, but that can block you from feeling the things that want to come to the surface. And if the resistance, the fears, the blocks, the things that are trying to come up so you can look at them, it's very easy from that space to say, oh, this feels uncomfortable. I can change how I feel. So I choose not to feel this and I'm just going to suppress it and feel good. But you're actually not looking at the stuff that wants to come up.
Exactly. That's a really, really good point. And something that I actually use, I don't know if you use that as well with your clients, but tapping EFT, because it really allows you to bring up whatever you're feeling in that moment. So it's a tool I really like. And this is something that you can actually do if you, your mind still really wants to do something about it. It's you can actually let it all out. You can feel whatever is there without suppressing anything, without ignoring it. And I totally agree that when we say that we're totally in control of everything, then it means, I mean, for some people it is true. I'm sure that if you've completely mastered your mind, maybe, but still there is a part that is subconscious. So you, it's a little bit more challenging to actually really master that fully. But what I do believe is that with awareness again, and being detached from what happens, then you can be okay deep down, even if you have things that come up in your life, even if you go through challenging moments, or you have these moments of like anger or sadness or anxiety, all those things, you will see that deep down, there is still some element of peace, and you can still be in your heart even with those waves and even with everything that comes up in life and in yourself.
Yes, I love that. And you mentioned tapping. So what are some other practices that you like to use and with your clients to start connecting with your heart space?
Well, I think they're all very simple, because I think that's very important to stress out that it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be like super, for example, something that only a specialist can do. It's things that everyone can do. Everyone can learn tapping, for example. That is one of the tools that I use a lot. But other than that, it's really about you and doing things that feel good to you. So reconnecting to the body, because the body holds a lot of tension, and it is a key into intuition as well, because it just senses things, especially if you feel a lot, if you're clairsentient maybe. Mm-hmm. And I have a quiz that kind of tells you what is your predominant intuitive type. So these things can help for everyone, but especially if you feel a lot. So getting into your body, just movement like yoga or walking or shaking, or which is just like shaking your entire body, or dancing, things like that. That really help you reconnect to your body. Of course, breathing and meditation are huge, and this is the one thing that I definitely recommend doing as much as possible. What else is there? Definitely the tapping, journaling is great, and yeah, I think there's more than that, but these are the key ones that resonate the most and that anyone can do, because it's simple, right? It doesn't have to be super complicated.
Yes, and it's actionable. It's easy and it's tangible, because that also breaks the idea when we start talking about heart space and heart chakra and energies that people automatically think that's going to involve very deep quantum healing and binaural beats and opening your chakras, mm-hmm. which of course it could help
as well.
Yes, yeah. You can definitely use it. But I love the practices that they're bringing up, because these mm-hmm. are all things you can do throughout your day, even if you're not an energy healer and you don't go to an energy healer.
Yeah, I think the point here is really to empower people to see that it doesn't have to be overwhelming or overcomplicated. And yes, it still is really valuable to maybe do the practices that you mentioned or go see a healer sometimes. But then again, you can't do this every day, and you can't do this. It depends. Like if you have like unlimited amount of time and money and all that, you can. But then you will have to be faced with kind of your daily life at some point. And when you do have the practices, when you do have the awareness within you that you can do it yourself, that I think is very empowering. And that is part of my message, is that anyone can really do it. Yes, we teach this and we hold space, and I think that's the most important as coaches, as healers and things like that. But when you know that you can do it yourself and it's simple and you can, like you said, it's tangible. It's something that you can do anytime, and you can always just breathe and reconnect in that way, or go for a walk or something like that. And I think it's very empowering.
And what would you say as the emergency plan? So let's say to the woman listening to this mm-hmm. that is in her head and overthinking, things feel overwhelming, and then you need to start somewhere. And I know that sometimes these practices resonate, but when things come up and when you're in that state of you just want to scream and it's all too much, it feels big. You know what I mean?
When it's too much.
When it's too much, that you don't feel like just sitting and breathing. Where would you say is the baby step to start when you need an emergency plan? Like, okay, I'm in my head, it feels like too much. Where can I start?
I think tapping would help there, because it's something that you could basically, I used to do it when I was working in an office and I had some moments where it was like very stressful, a lot of anxiety, or it was too much in my head. Or even like a slight migraine was starting, or a headache. Mm. And it doesn't work for all migraines, unfortunately, but just going to the restroom and tapping there in silence, or just, you know, whispering, that really helped me a lot. So I think that would be kind of the little emergency thing that you can do. But if it's bigger than that, I would totally recommend to reach out to someone, whether it's a coach or, I mean, a friend would help as well, but sometimes it's good to have someone who is non-judgmental, who doesn't know you, and that who can really hold space for you and see what you need. So that will really listen to your needs and adapt. So like if there is someone that you resonate with, then reach out to that person and you can start working together. So that's for really times where things get too challenging to tackle on your own. And I know it has helped me a lot. So I've had coaches in the past and healers, so people who really are in that same idea, but that could help me elevate and get to the next level and really support me with whatever I'm going through. So that would be definitely my recommendation.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And for you guys listening, I know that Sarah, you mentioned your quiz. I'm going to include the quiz here in the show notes and your Instagram, Facebook. Where else can we find you?
So you can find me on my website. The quiz is on my website as well. So it's sarahlewis.co. And I have a podcast as well, like you mentioned, Heart Space. So you can find that, I think, on pretty much everywhere you can find the podcast. But it's on my website, on iTunes, Spotify, and things like that. So obviously for people who you know, can't necessarily invest in what I was just saying to work with someone or to buy a course or things like that, there's a lot of free resources out there as well. So yes, that is where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a great conversation. Thank you for your time and for having me.
I hope you loved today's episode. And if you did, please don't forget to take a minute and leave a star review or a comment on iTunes. I create this content from my soul to support yours. And this makes all the difference to help my message get out there and reach the people who need to listen. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you for being here, and I'll see you in the next episode.